A reading for this morning is taken from the Gospel according to St. Matthew, the 19th chapter, beginning with verse 23. Then Jesus said to his disciples, "Assuredly, I say to you that it is hard for a rich man to enter the kingdom of heaven. And again, I say to you, it is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter the kingdom of God." When his disciples heard it, they were greatly astonished, saying, "Who then can be saved?" But Jesus looked at them and said to them, "With men this is impossible, but with God all things are possible. These are your words, Heavenly Father. They are your truth. We pray that you would strengthen our Christian faith through them. Amen." While traveling through South Dakota a couple summers ago, I saw a billboard for a casino, and this is what it said in huge letters: "Your get rich getaway. Your get rich getaway." Nothing could be further from the truth. Wall Street Journal did a study of casinos in the United States and found that 95% of the people that go into them to gamble come out with less money. So your get-rich getaway. Jackpot Junction, not too far from us here in southern Minnesota, they send out buses to the following states. I want you to think about this, how far of their reach is. I'm going to read them. Missouri, Nebraska, Kansas, Illinois, Iowa, Wisconsin, Minnesota, South Dakota, North Dakota, and Manitoba, Canada. That's how far away Jackpot Junction sends buses. And in many of those cases, they give people not only a free ride to the junction, but they give them $20 startup gambling chips and a free lunch. Think how much they've invested in people to bring them to their casino. It's amazing. Absolutely amazing. That's how much they know they can make off people. An Ohio State Lottery sent out a letter a few years ago to the people that own gas stations and places where they sell the lottery tickets. And this is what they wrote in the letter. This is a strategy letter for when to advertise. Listen to what it said. "We recommend that promotional pushes be targeted as early as possible in the month." And here's why. "Government benefits, payroll, and Social Security payments are released on the first Tuesday of each month." So they knew that the poorer the people are, there's a better chance, that's true, statistics show it, there's a better chance of getting them to think of the lottery as a way to get themselves out of poverty. Now, all of these things, not here to preach about the lottery today, but all of these things expose something about us, expose something about our sinful human nature. And this is what it is. We really want heaven now. We don't want to wait. We don't like this waiting for stuff. We want to get our wealth now. We want to get it as fast as possible. In fact, we're so hungry for it, we're willing to give up part of what we presently have in our wealth, apparently, in order to see if we could get more. And be willing, at a rate of 95%, to lose what we have in hopes of possibly, just possibly, getting a little bit of heaven in our minds now. Jesus' words, they claim that in Scripture, Jesus, at least one-third of his words, deal with the problem of greed and materialism in our hearts. Jesus' words in our text today is part of that. He says, "It is hard for a rich man to enter the kingdom of heaven." A rich man. Well, at least he's not talking about us. Oh, yeah? Think about where we are in wealth in the world compared to most of the world. Do you know that the average American, they claim, the average American worker spends $1,100 on coffee a year? There are 10 nations where that would be the average entire household income for them. Just think of that. What we spent on coffee in a year. So why is this so difficult for us, and why is this a spiritual issue that Jesus feels he needs to so frequently, one-third of his words, so frequently address about us? Why would Jesus imply that the greater wealth that you might be allowed to possess in this life, the more difficult might be your path to getting to heaven. Well, here's why. When you seek to gratify, when we seek to gratify and satisfy our souls with all the stuff we can get in this life, and it doesn't have to just be money, it can be other things too. Whatever we use to try to gratify and satisfy our souls in this life pushes out the Trinity and pushes out our love for Christ and the things of his kingdom. There's a tremendous danger with this, that we can lose our focus on heaven and the blessings that we have in our Savior. Jesus said it this way in another place. No one can serve two masters. Either he will hate the one and love the other, or he will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and money, sometimes referred to as mammon. And mammon isn't just bucks. It can be other things as well. Now, Satan's great lie to us, he has many, but one of his great lies to us is, that's not true. You can. Christians, you can do both. You can have both. You can love Christ, and you can love getting to heaven, and you can also love the things of this world, and you can try to get as much of it as you can. Satan tells us, let's think of it more like a time issue. Right now in your life, you can really spend your focus on that. You can still love Christ, and someday you can get even more intense about him down the road in your future. Maybe when you get white hair on your head, then you can start really getting serious about your faith and getting ready to die and go to heaven. But right now, you could chase both. You could have both. That's a strong appeal to our hearts. Jesus says it can't be done. And it's really true. If you think about yourself, if you think about in your own heart and life, when you're focused on stuff in this world and in this life that's going to make you happy, it's hard to think about our Savior, isn't it? It's hard to think about the beautiful home in heaven he's prepared for us. So the love of earthly wealth, the love of the things of this world, contains with that a spiritual poison for our faith and our love for eternal life. Back at the time of the Reformation, Martin Luther used to joke about how preachers would preach to people about going to heaven, and that he said he was always waiting for a German brute to stand up in the audience and yell back at the preacher, "Heaven, heaven, all this talk about heaven, what we need is bread. We want something now. Don't tell me about this future bread of heaven that we can have." A man by the name of Johannes Ilvesacker said this, "It is not wealth in itself which bars the passage to the kingdom of God, but the sinful attitude of the heart." Now, this is resonating with everybody in this room. Every one of us, this goes down inside of us like, that is me. I've got this problem. The disciples of Jesus realized that too. And they looked at Jesus after he said this and they said, well, who can possibly be saved? Who then can be saved? We all have this problem. We all have this sinful urge to just be focused on all the stuff in this world. And then Jesus gives this very interesting answer. With men, this is impossible, but with God, all things are possible. And here's what he means. The Holy Spirit alone must perform the surgery in our hearts to detach us from all the things of this world. The Holy Spirit alone is the one who can disconnect us from all our love of the wealth and things of this world and to bring us to Christ, to create in us a repentance of our greed and materialism, our earthly mindedness, to find in our Savior one who has forgiven us for all of those sins by his holy blood shed on the cross, and to then also create in us a longing and a desire to really go to the place above that God has prepared for every one of us through the blood of his Son. Jesus says to us, "I have come to bring you life, and that more abundantly than anything you're going to find here or through some casino or anything you're going to get in this world." A number of years ago, when I was a parish pastor, there was another pastor in my congregation. I preached on this type of a subject a couple of Sundays in a row. And afterwards, I was talking to this friend of mine who had been there for both of those sermons, and I apologized to him. I said, I probably need to get off this subject. I've preached it two Sundays in a row. And he said, no, I need to hear that every Sunday. And that's the response of faith, isn't it? We realize how deep-rooted this problem is in all of us. We need to hear this type of message all the time. I'd like to close with a quick illustration and story of Joseph. Think about Joseph, the great patriarch, who was brought up by God through the ranks to rise to be the second in command in Egypt. Think about the wealth that he got to live in. Think about the money that he probably had at his disposal, the food that he got to eat, the type of palace he lived in, as second in command in what was probably one of the greatest empires of its day. And yet he said that when he died, he wanted his bones brought back to the poor land of Canaan with all of the faithful and the followers of the coming Messiah. God may choose, in his goodness, to let you have some wealth in your life. But may your heart, no matter how much that is, may your heart always long to be with his faithful and being taken to the promised land above. Amen.